Off the Ball, GAA.
It's good to make history for the club, and as you see, like, SARS, it means everything to us. After losing county final, to get to a Munster final and represent ourselves and our community, it means everything to
us. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Monday's Football Daily. My name is Phil Egan. On the way, Ruben Amorim says his Manchester United players were thinking too much in his first game in charge. Arne Slot's tempering expectations at Liverpool after they move 8 points clear, and the contenders to replace Steve Cooper at Leicester.
Going forward, is mouth-watering.
Here he is, head down, driving forward over on the right-hand side for Manchester United, and he skips away from Davies. Plenty of options in the middle as well, and Rashford is in, and Rashford scores! It's a dream start for Ruben Amorim. Less than 90 seconds in, and Manchester United score through Marcus Rashford. Amorim sits, United supporters celebrate, and it doesn't get much better than that. Amad Diallo down the right-hand side. All the pace in the world, just skipped clear the first attack and picked out the pass, pulled it across from the right, and the first time finish for Marcus Rashford. And Manchester United supporters, well, you can well and truly believe, Ipswich 0, Manchester United 1, Marcus Rashford.
Here's Morsi, 35 yards from goal, zips that into Hutchinson. Hutchinson now out wide to Burns. Balloon making its way into the Manchester United penalty area. It's Hutchinson, yeah! Goes for goal! And it's into the top corner, and Ipswich Town the level, and you have to say they deserve it. Ipswich draw level against Manchester United, and it's Omari Hutchinson.
Oh, it's Omari, and he rolls, he gets the ball on the edge of the box, he rolls inside, he doesn't even look up, he hits it with such power. It takes the slightest of deflections. And just glance goes into the top corner. What a finish.
First up today, Ruben Amorim says he'll have to rotate his Manchester United squad as he attempts to bring them up to speed with his methods. Marcus Rashford put United ahead after just 80 seconds away to Ipswich yesterday, but Omari Hutchinson's stunning goal 2 minutes before the break levelled matters for Kieran McKenna's side. Neither team could find a second-half breakthrough, and Amorim believes his United players are caught up in their own heads.
They are thinking too much because things are so different. Some details that they used to pass the ball and go forward. Even the central backs, now they have to go back. These type of things, they start going forward and they have to think too much. Dalot used to do it, pass the ball to central backs, go inside, play as a midfielder. Now he has to stick in this position. So it's hard for the players in 3 days to try to cope with everything. But we have two ways. Or we forget about the new idea, and I think that's why I was brought here in the middle of the season, and we tried to cope with the things that I used to do it, and we, next year in the same stage we'll be here with the same problems. Or we start now, we risk a little bit, we suffer a little bit, and in the next year we will be better at this point, so we have to risk it a little bit. And they are thinking too much because we are changing too much with two trainings without space to improve in training.
United will finish this month with a Europa League date at home to Bodo Glimt on Thursday, and 3 games in 7 days help start a busy December for them, with Amorim saying he'll need to rotate his squad as he gets them acquainted with his methods.
We have to find a way. I think the only way to do it is that we have games, and the guys that don't play have trainings. Everybody's going to play, and everybody's going to be on the bench, so they have the feeling of the game, but they need to train. With this schedule, we need to rotate the team. So we'll try to use that to train, to improve the team, and to win matches. So that's the point. Without time, we have to find the time, and I think this is the only way. Some of the guys is going to play. Some of the guys in the next day will work on our idea, and then they will change the position.
So 3 games without defeat for Ipswich, who remain just inside the bottom three on goal difference. However, Kieran McKenna's side have taken points off 3 of the Premier League's current top 10, as well as United, and the Fermanagh native believes they're holding their own now.
Yeah, I think we've shown that for the large majority of the season, but I think it's pretty clear that we're making progress. I think you can see it in individual players and their improvement in their performances. You can see players really settling into the team who've come here. You can see, you know, we can't forget the journey for a Cameron Burgess or a Wes Burns today of where they've come to, and now they're, you know, both competing really well in that game. So individuals are improving. I think as a team we're developing. I think we looked at, you know, pre the Tottenham game, we made some comparisons internally with the Man City game before the game and posed that to the players to say that, you know, we went to Man City second game. We did some things well, but in the end we weren't able to manage the game against a top team, and it ran away from us, and we did that much better last weekend. And I think you can draw some comparisons today with the Liverpool game, to be fair, and we did that before the game and said, look, we've got to show now. 11 games since we played Liverpool, a lot of the same ingredients as we did against Liverpool: intensity over pressure, bravery on and off the ball. But we have to find a little bit more, both in terms of being clinical to go and score a goal, and also in our game management and maturity. And I think if you look at the second half today compared to the second half at Liverpool, when Liverpool got on the ascendancy in the last 30 minutes of that game, they ran away from us really and cut through us. Today, whenever the game got away from us a little bit in the second half, where we lost the domination that we had in the first half, I thought it was a really mature second half, because we stuck together, we defended on shape, everyone stuck to the jobs, didn't give away many big chances, and then you give yourself a chance to win the game. And even taking Liam's out of it, Connor, the good chance in the cutback at the end that maybe you can then go and win the game. So even in a, you know, a microcosm, I think you take those two games from the first two games, you know, Liverpool and Man City, and you take Tottenham and United today, and you can see some progress there. So yeah, we feel it, but we have to keep it going. You know, it's the position that we're in when you draw a game. And if you continue with that next week, then you show momentum. But if you don't, and you don't show it, then you lose momentum, you lose the game, and you've not won in two games. So that's the reality of where we're in. We feel that we're progressing, but we have to keep going.
However, Ipswich are yet to win at Portman Road this season, a stat McKenna is keen to change.
Yeah, we're going to have to win some home games for sure. So I think you've described it pretty well. I think a pretty good step is being hard to beat, being competitive, making this a really difficult place to come, imposing ourselves on the opposition. But we also need to win some home games over the course of the season, and that's what we're trying to do. But I think, look, we've had four draws here. I think we could have won all four. Par score, we should have won one that for me isn't debatable in the Leicester game, and you take out the other three draws, par score is probably winning at least one if things fall your way. So yeah, we don't feel like we're far away, but it is another step. You know, being competitive, being hard to beat, not losing many games, that's a step. Winning your first game is a step, and then winning regularly is, you know, more regularly than what we are is another step that we still have to try and make.
Dribbling on the run here, he's passed Robert Burke, and then he stopped on the edge of the box. Small message there from Andy Robertson, but it looks like a foul. It's a penalty! It was inside the area, says the referee Sam Barrett.
Chance for Armstrong.
10 days ago, he saved a penalty against Finland, Premier Keller, and he's done it again against Southampton, but on the rebound, Armstrong comes in, and he tucks the ball into the back of the net in the 42nd minute. The Saints are on level terms. But it's cleared away to Ryan Fraser, who's down the right-hand side. He releases Dibbling now. And Dibbling turns away from his marker, does really well, and then picks out Adam Armstrong, rolling to the middle here. Adam Armstrong, oh, he can't bring the ball under his control, but he does find, oh, it's a goal for Southampton! Fernandez has found the bottom corner. Adam Armstrong, he made a mess of the control there, but he did pick out his teammate, and the Portuguese has sent St. Mary's into huge celebrations here in the 56th minute. It's Southampton 2, Liverpool 1.
It's
a mistake at the back,
the
and the ball is just dribbled over the goal line. What happened to Alex McCarthy? Mo Salah comes away with the ball in his hand, pumping his fist over to the away Liverpool supporters. 65 minutes on the clock, out of nowhere, Liverpool back on level terms. Nunez being blocked away there, and it's handled in the box by, it's Fernandez I think, but immediately the referee points to the spot, back to Sugawara. The substitute, no question there from you, Brian. 81 minutes on the clock, it's 2-2, but Liverpool have a penalty.
Massive moment.
Yeah, Mo Salah stepping up against Alex McCarthy. He scored 7 goals before against Southampton. Will this be an 8? Hits with his left foot, into the back of the net. No messing from the Egyptian King. He whips up his shirt and goes over to the away supporter, flexing those muscles. He's showed great strength of character here this afternoon at St. Mary's.
What is it? Is it relief? Is it
the coming on of time that he's worried that I might not always stay with him. And then he ripped off the jersey and ran over in front of the Liverpool crowd. It's a bit of a showing off me body, but it's also a bit of madness, I suppose, that you've scored two goals where it looked like the game might be slipping away. Liverpool 3-2.
Arne Slot's refusing to get carried away despite Liverpool pulling 8 points clear at the top of the Premier League table. Mo Salah took his tally for the season to 12, scoring twice in the second half as Slot's side came from behind to win 3-2 away to bottom side Southampton. Only Newcastle and Arsenal have not gone on to win the title, having won 10 of their first 12 Premier League games. But Slot says cool heads are required at Anfield.
No, definitely, but we also know what we have to put into it to get this lead that we have at the moment and to get these wins. And I only have to show in the players' field that I think there were maybe one or two games for us that were wins by a big margin, but the rest of them were all by small margins. So we know how difficult it is to win a game, and these players have been longer in the Premier League than I've been. But I think it was last season, even later on in the season, that Arsenal led by 8 points and City came back. So you know if you face Arsenal, City, Chelsea and all these other teams, that Tottenham was great yesterday as well. They're all able to win so many games in a row. So it's nice to have this position, but we are definitely not get carried away.
Slot also gave his view of the Southampton penalty that was saved by Kevin Kelleher before Adam Armstrong scored from the rebound. The Liverpool boss feels Saints teenager Tyler Dibling was brought down just outside the box by Andy Robertson.
In general, sometimes you can also have a bit of could have made a different decision or not, but for me, with the offside and deciding if a ball is inside or outside, that is just black or white. Yeah. So it was a foul, that was clear. So if they saw that it was inside, yeah, then it's a penalty. So sometimes with a knock, yes or no, or a red card, yes or no, there was also an incident in the first half where you could argue if that's a red card, yes or no. Those things you can argue, but offside and inside or out of the 18-yard box is something you cannot argue. But it was a small margin, like the whole season of us.
Mo Salah once again showed how important a player he is to Liverpool, but right now it doesn't sound like he'll be there next season. The 32-year-old Egyptian says he's yet to receive a formal offer from Liverpool and admits he's disappointed not to have made a breakthrough with the club over a new deal. Salah's one of three key men out of contract at Anfield in the summer, along with Virgil van Dijk and Trent Alexander-Arnold.
There's a lot of talk about your future. What's the latest you can tell us on that?
Well, in December. I haven't received any offer to stay yet in the club, so probably I'm more out than in. So,
would you like to stay though?
Well, you know, I've been in the club for many years. No club like this, but in the end, it's not in my hand. So, as I said before, it's December, so I haven't received anything yet about my future. So.
It feels like the fans would love you to stay, though, given the reaction today.
I love the fans. The fans love me, but in the end, it's not in my hand, it's in the fans' hand. So, yeah, let's wait and see.
How do you feel about the fact there hasn't been an offer then? Does that disappoint you?
Of course, yeah.
And so what? Have you spoken to the club about why there hasn't been an offer?
Well, I'm not gonna go and say I'm not gonna retire soon. So I'm just playing I'm focusing the season and I'm trying to win the Premier League or hopefully the Champions League as well. But yeah, it's a disappointed, but we'll see.
Southampton remain 5 points from safety, still with just one win to their name, and their manager Russell Martin says they need to bring yesterday's level of performance into their upcoming games.
No, I think we have to. There's no, like, the game's different. Sometimes when we play against other teams, we're trying to attack a low block like we did at Wolves, and there's lots of bodies to defend, and every game in the Premier League looks different because the opposition you're facing tactically looks different. So we have another one to prepare for on Friday now, which is really exciting for us, away from home. And the players just have to, honestly, they have to keep giving us what they're giving us. We're so close, we're so competitive, and the season has been defined on moments that have been really critical and big, and we could be in such a different position. I think that's the frustration that everyone feels. But we have no choice but to keep working, stick together. We knew the season was going to be tough at the start. It's not like a surprise to anyone that we're fighting at the moment. But I think it feels worse because some of the goals we've conceded and the timing of some of them as well. The objective hasn't changed, and the players' willingness to work and run hasn't changed. So as long as they stick with that, they'll be fine.
Have you got any concerns about their confidence to keep doing what they're doing?
Well, I think they've shown moments of real confidence today against the best team in the league. So my job to try and keep them in that place, to keep believing what they're doing, to keep playing with courage and feeling, and not let fear overtake them is my job with them. So because we have such a young team, some really outstanding young players that are going to play in this league and beyond for a very long time if they get it right and they stay in the right environment. So yeah, it's an exciting challenge for us.
And Leicester hope to install a replacement for Steve Cooper before Saturday's trip to Brentford. Four league games without a win saw Cooper sacked yesterday, with the Foxes just a point above the relegation zone. Ruud van Nistelrooy was reported to be Leicester's priority in their latest managerial hunt. The Dutch cup-winning manager with PSV Eindhoven oversaw League Cup and Premier League wins over Leicester during his interim spell in charge of Manchester United. But the odds were slashed on Graham Potter last night. David Moyes is another name that's been mentioned. Potter was believed to have been approached as a potential successor to Enzo Maresca in the summer before Leicester went for Cooper. John Percy in the Telegraph reported that Cooper had fallings out with Danish defender Yannick Vestergaard, Harry Winks and Hamza Choudhury during a short spell in charge. At one point, Vestergaard was banished from training and some Leicester players were filmed partying in Denmark on Saturday night with a sign that read, "Enzo, I miss you," in reference to Maresca.